Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact. I'm Natalie Silverstein. Each week, I'll introduce you to young people who are making a difference in their communities through nonprofits, social entrepreneurship, volunteerism, and activism. I hope you'll be inspired by these conversations, which prove that every person, no matter their age, can help to create a kinder world.
Origami is a traditional Japanese art of folding paper, typically without cutting or gluing, to create intricate, beautiful, and colorful shapes. It can be a meditative practice and is an art form often passed down from one generation to the next. My guest today, Juan, created an organization called Origami for Good, with the mission to spread joy one fold at a time. Volunteers in chapters around the world create origami art and share it with others who are in need of joy and connection. Welcome back, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to my new friend, Juan. He is joining me from a spot literally on the other side of the planet from me, and I'm so grateful to be able to connect with him virtually. Hey, Juan, how are you?
Hi, I'm good today.
I'm glad. So tell us a little bit more about yourself, how old you are, where you go to school, where you are calling in from, and then tell us all about Origami for Good.
All right. So to start off, my name is Juan Orfino Moraleja. I go by Junie to most people because it's easier. I was born and raised in Seattle, Washington, but I go to a boarding school in Hong Kong at the moment, and that's where I am calling from. And yeah, I'm started Origami for Good with some of my friends.
Amazing. And are you in high school now? What year are you in school?
Yes. So right now I would be year 11, so a junior in high school, and I'm 17 years old.
I see. Okay. So tell us about Origami for Good. It's such an interesting concept. You know, I love origami. It's obviously very beautiful, and I'm curious how you use it for social good.
All right. Well, first off, I learned origami when I was probably in third grade. Just one of my friends taught me, and that really showed me the impact it can have on society and how it can really bring people together. And later on in high school, freshman, sophomore year, me and some friends, we ended up starting Origami for Good, where basically we call people all over the world. We have chapters in every continent besides Antarctica. And we have volunteers fold origami and then donate them to people who need it. Generally, people who can be emotionally isolated, such as people in nursing homes, people in orphanages, soldiers, etc. And we found that it can really help bring some calmness and some serenity to people whose lives might be in tumultuous times. For example, we have one person who I know because they contacted me after they received a donation. They're from Palestine, and they said that seeing the origami, seeing someone's handwritten note alongside it, it inspired them to try and take a moment to slow down. While the things going around them might be kind of insane and crazy, they should really try and focus on what they can control. And doing something like origami is a way for them to let go of that tension they might hold and really just take control of what they have.
Right. So when you say that someone puts something together and then sends it off, how is it shipped such that, because origami sometimes has it's very delicate. I'm curious if something is being shipped in the mail, you mentioned with a note or something, which is amazing. How do they do it so that it doesn't get all messed up?
That's a good question. One, I don't think of that much, honestly, but like sometimes people, we invite them to fold all sorts of things. Usually people will fold things that can be flattened. For example, hearts, because they're relatively easy and unable to be like distorted as easily. But when someone folds things like cranes or things like that, they usually send them in a box and then they include stuffing. And so it allows them to like not necessarily mess up. And when people send in origami, they usually send it in large amounts, around maybe like 50 pieces. If you have 50 pieces of origami inside a bag and then you have padding around it, it's stable enough for they aren't distorted.
So the mother in me wondering how the shipping is going to work so it doesn't get ruined. So tell me a little bit more about origami. So tell me about the sort of history of it, or the, you mentioned calming, which it does give me that impression that it is this beautiful, very specific way of folding paper to create certain symbols. You mentioned the crane. That's when I think of origami, I immediately think of the crane. And they are so beautiful and so intricate. I don't really know the history of it. And I don't know, is there something about the art of creating it that, you know, what can you share about that?
Well, off the top of my head, origami is Japanese. It's a Japanese art form. And one of my co-founders, she is Japanese. And I think that it kind of is able to show like the spreading of culture, in the sense that the person who taught it to me, my friend in third grade, he was also Japanese. And to him, he said that he would always used to fold origami with his grandmother. And then after I learned, I ended up also folding origami with my grandmother. And I think that's kind of, I guess, the nature of origami. It's just a tradition, I guess, where you sit down with people you care about, people you love, and then they teach one another. And eventually that just spreads, because it's a skill that literally all you need is a piece of paper. Like, you can be anywhere in the world, but what can connect you is just a shared act.
Absolutely. And do you, you said you had chapters all over the world, which is incredible. Do you share the instructions? So is there a kit, or is there a website or something where someone who wants to participate gets information on how to do it? I wouldn't know how to fold a crane properly. I'd have to look that up. So do you provide that?
No, for sure. So what we have, mostly for the most part, all our volunteers. We have about 45,000 Instagram followers and 15,000 volunteers. Wow. And 250 chapters. And most of them came from Instagram, because we just start posting videos about like origami, about helping people, and they caught on. And on Instagram is where I'd say we gather most of our audience. We post tutorials, we post different posts celebrating different months. For example, we'll have a post celebrating Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and then we'll have a tutorial on how to make a pink ribbon. Or we'll do something for Chinese New Year. This year was the year of the horse, and so there's a tutorial for a horse.
Amazing.
Like everything, like Halloween, all those sorts of things.
Right.
But we also encourage people to like apply, like look online, look for what they're interested in, because it's not just about making what like is easy. It's about exploring what you're creative about and what really interests you and folding that.
Sure. No, absolutely. That's genius. And then do you also, you know, provide the paper? As you said, people can just purchase any kind of paper. Is there a particular kind of paper that's recommended?
Generally, if someone is buying paper, they can just look up origami paper. You can buy like 1,000 pieces for like $20, $30.
Right.
And besides that, if someone may not have access to that, we have received grants from different organizations, from the government. We are able to provide some small grants to some people, I believe. But usually we use those grants to try and host events so that we can reach a larger audience rather than one specific volunteer. Besides that, you can also just take a regular rectangle piece of paper and then fold it into like diagonal. I'm sure you've done that, like as an arts and crafts, you just turn a rectangle into a square.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about the folks that receive the origami. So you mentioned someone sending a package to someone in Palestine. How is that connected? How is that coordinated? If my child wanted to start a chapter here in New York City and they wanted to do it at school, do they get to decide where they send their origami to a community that's suffering from some natural disaster or whatever? Like, how do you make those connections?
Yeah, so in general, we have all the chapters that we already have that exist, but anyone can apply to start a new chapter. Then alongside that, we have a list of facilities that people can donate to. This is about probably like 50-ish, give or take. We try not to have too many, and we try not to have too little, because yeah, it's just like a good even number. And then these facilities are in a wide range of continents, of locations, states, cities, etc. But if a volunteer cannot find that they are able to like, because generally what people do is that they choose a facility to mail it to, and then they mail it directly from their own apartment or like house, wherever they live. And then if something doesn't work and they cannot mail, whether it be like financial reasons, government, political, whatever, then they're able to find a facility nearby them that does work and then just message it to us. And then I will go and verify. And then
I see. So it can be anything. It'd be a hospital, a nursing home.
Yes. It could be down the road from you, or it could be across the world.
Got it. Okay. No, that's beautiful, because again, you know, we literally live here in Manhattan, and there is a senior living facility next door where I think to myself, right, if my kid created a bunch of beautiful origami, we could deliver it right next door and they would
exactly.
love it, you know, and they
exactly.
give it out at their communal gathering, and people would be so delighted, right? And again, these are people who are isolated, who don't see a lot of beautiful things, who would maybe just appreciate the beauty of the item and then also appreciate the young person coming to deliver it to them, right?
Exactly.
That's sometimes half of it right there.
What you mentioned about the young person delivering it, sometimes we encourage, well, not sometimes, all the time, we encourage people to do more than just deliver it and rather contact the facility and ask if they can host an event where they invite like a couple of their friends maybe. And then the nursing home, for example, will tell all the people living there like, hey guys, come to the shared living space at like 5 o'clock and we'll have some people here teaching you how to do origami. Even if they can't fold the origami, whether it be like arthritis or other things, it's really the action and it restores faith in like the younger generation.
Absolutely. And you've really hit on something special there, which is this sort of intergenerational volunteerism where, and the most special, the most important service work is done directly, right? Where the person providing the service, if you will, interacts with the people who are benefiting from it. So that's such a beautiful thing. And again, any kind of arts and crafts, but especially something like this, where it's not that complicated, right? It's, you just, as you pointed out, just really need to be able to fold and to follow those directions. And that communication, that connection between older folks and young people and doing this work, like, I think that's the most special part, right? The thing that comes out of it is great, but it's the connection between the people. Well, Juan, this is such beautiful work. I'm just so impressed with the scope, you know, the numbers of volunteers and the numbers of facilities and the places all around the planet. Like, it just is, it's really beautiful. How do you see this growing?
Well, for the most part, we grew quite exponentially, I would say. We skyrocketed from like 4,000 followers to 40,000 in probably like 3 months, something like that. And after that, we mainly have been trying to focus on expanding our growth from online to offline, trying to encourage people to do more events. Because it's one thing to follow someone on Instagram, but the difference between 45,000 and 15,000 is still 30,000. Right. And so we're trying to encourage people to instead like actually take action, even though they already are doing so, but like really emphasizing that. As for growing, we've been collaborating with other organizations just to grow our impact, getting government grants and such. But at the end of the day, I think we are decently achieving what we wanted to, which is at least bringing this issue of like, at first it really started with elder isolation, mm-hmm. but it really grew to like isolation in general, yeah. and bringing that to the forefront of people's minds.
No, it's beautiful and we could all use it, right? I think that we need connection and we need beauty and we need art and to be able to give people opportunities to serve others, which I think creates a meaningful life, and to do it with something, you know, artistic and creative. It's all just really wonderful. Juan, can you tell everybody where people can learn more, how they can follow your Instagram? Hopefully you'll get even more followers. Tell us all of your social impact stuff.
Yes. So if you look up on Instagram, Origami for Good, you'll find us. You can also reach out to an email. Mine is juanm.origamiforgood@gmail.com. Or you could reach out to contact@origamiforgood. And yeah, these are all different channels. But if you message somewhere, particularly if you message me, I'll make sure I'll respond. But yeah.
No, that's amazing. Well, Juan, thank you so much for staying up late to speak with me today. I really appreciate it. This is such a wonderful project and such a great story to share with my listeners. I'm wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you. You too.
Thanks for listening. If you are inspired by what you heard today and would like to support the creation of this podcast and the work of the changemaker I featured, please visit my website, simpleactsguide.com/podcast, to make a donation. And please follow, rate, and review the podcast to help us spread these positive messages.